Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship service here at the Woodland Drive-In Church. We're just so delighted that you're here, and we're thankful that we can worship and that we have a good day to come here and safe driving day, and we're thankful for that. And so just to remind you that our pastor, praise the Lord, Reverend Verlin Verbrugge, is here to give us a message. You've heard some music from our organist, Greta Elam, and our guest artist for music today is Sandy Tielema, and we're just so glad that she's able to be with us today. So we give a welcome to Sandy. God has made this day for us, just like he makes every day, and whatever God makes, he calls it good. And so today, we will be able to do whatever God wants us to do and what matters most to him. Here's a call to praise this morning, a call to worship from the book of Psalms. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I will seek after. It is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And so we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Please join me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we bless you that you have turned your face toward us to show us your glory. Thank you for one more day of worship to come together as the body of Christ. We praise you and that we belong to you, that you care about us. We thank you that we belong to one another and that we're joined in this covenant of love. Our Father, we know that when one has joy, then we all celebrate and we all have joy. And when one suffers, we all suffer. And when one feels a loss, we all feel that loss, that sorrow, that missing place, and we feel incomplete in that missing of a person. And we ask, dear Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit to keep us joined together, forgive anything that might hinder us or prevent the Holy Spirit from doing his work in our lives. We ask for strength to our trust, to our hope, and help us to reach out to one another. We thank you for prayer. We thank you we can pray for our pastor, and we thank you if we can pray for all those who contribute here at the drive-in. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. And now we'll have our first selection from Sandy.
Good morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Psalms 27:3. Faith in God must be intimate and personal if it is to give us hope for the future. The omnipotent Creator, God, has not abandoned this world despite appearances to the contrary. His master plan will still be carried out as we just place our trust in him and meet the future with serenity that he will give. The name of the song is called I'll Never Sail Alone.
What mercy made this ship was built to praise Jesus my Lord.
No,
I'll never sail alone on stormy seas. I have the mighty hand of God leading me. He'll pilot me safely through waters unknown. I will not fear because I don't sail alone.
Well, once again, welcome to all of you here. And a few things to note. In the material you got when you came into the parking lot, you have a registration card. And invite you, if you will, to fill that out. There's a place to indicate how you heard about the drive-in or something to that effect, so that the committee here who promotes the drive-in can know where best to let the word get out. You also have a prayer card, and this is really important too. If you have a prayer request, we invite you to fill it out and either wave it out the window for the parking lot attendants or put it on your headlights on to indicate that you have a prayer request. And the pastor will pray for what's on your card in a little while. And then we take a list of them. And there's a group of people who during the week continue to pray for these needs and to give thanks to God for answered prayer if that's what you've written down. So a reminder about the prayer request. Then you also have an envelope, and we invite you to place your offering in that envelope, and you can give it as you leave and for the ministry of this church. There's also coffee in the greenhouse, and after the service, if you choose to go in there and have a cup of coffee and meet some folks face-to-face, we invite you to do that. And so we continue our worship, and after this registration time with our scripture and our prayer time by Reverend Verbrugge.
Well, thank you very much, Wanda. First of all, I have to begin with an apology about last week's Sunday. I know there were some of you who came here last week Sunday, and it looked pretty deserted here. I live in Comstock Park, and the weather didn't look too bad out there. And I thought, well, we can probably have a service. And other churches weren't canceling. They, of course, were indoor churches. And when I got out here, about 15 miles south from where I live, I took a look at it and said, this is insane, trying to have a service with the snow swirling around and the wind blowing and parking lot covered with snow and so forth. So I made a decision at about 9:30, 9:45 that we were going to cancel our service. So I made a few calls to some people, and they called TV8 and TV13. And unfortunately, it didn't get on very early, so there were some people who had looked on the TV, didn't see a cancellation, and came here anyway. And so if you were here last week Sunday, if I had been smart and really believed the weather forecast that the bad weather was coming from the south to the north, I would have canceled the service much earlier. You will notice that the worship guide has on it February 1. Well, that was the worship guide for last week. I decided there's no sense redoing the worship guide since they were all sitting right there in the greenhouse. The only difference is that Wanda Hendrickson is the worship leader instead of Bunk Van Ark, and Sandy Tiedema is the special music instead of Linda Pasek. But the rest of the service will be as it is, with the same scripture I was going to read last Sunday and the message I was going to bring last Sunday. So that's why we have the worship guide that we do. Next week's Sunday, by the way, is going to be a very special Sunday for me personally. I hope to have here in Grand Rapids and at the drive-in service, all five of my children. Those of you who know me well know that I had a first marriage which had four children. One of them lives in Grand Rapids, one lives in the Cincinnati area, one lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and one lives in Salt Lake City, Utah. And the one in Salt Lake City, Utah has two boys, two grandchildren of mine, and they're going to be here, and so the others are coming as well. It's President's Day weekend, and the boys don't have school on that Monday. So they are planning to come to Grand Rapids next weekend. And my daughter from the second marriage, Sarah, who many of you know, will also be here, and my wife will be here. And it will be indeed a special Sunday for me, because I haven't had all my kids in the same place for quite a while. So, the passage I'm going to read is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. I am looking through 2 Timothy, the last of the three pastoral letters. 2 weeks ago, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my son, and he is talking to Timothy, whom Paul considers his son in the faith because he had nurtured him to be a believer. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And all things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for God will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among there are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, made useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Given an opportunity for prayer requests. Pray for my daughter, Stacy. She starts school when she's done. Pray that she finds a job. And pray for her. Please pray for Janice, who has just finished her chemo and is now starting radiation. Her positive attitude is inspiring. Thanks to God for answered prayer to everyone that prayed for me. I feel very blessed. Please pray for Pastor Verlin for a miracle healing. Pray also for my family in our lives of my husband, Richard. Please pray for a brother that God blesses him with a job and is able to pay for his rent and utilities. Pray for all my grandchildren. Please pray for the Bennett family. Pray for Winona Washington family on the passing of a family member, Christopher Joseph. Please pray for my problems at work to be resolved in a fair and timely manner. Praise God that my friend's cancer is gone. May the Lord make the same for our pastor. Please pray for Bennett and Washington family on the death of a family member. We'd like prayers for Pastor Verbrugge and to include one for myself. I was just diagnosed with lymphoma, form of leukemia. And prayer for Bob Tift, who has prostate cancer. He is a member of the Fairhaven Men's Group. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father in heaven, we are thankful that we can be here in this place of worship today. I thank you for each person who has come. Lord, I do thank you for each person who braved the weather last week and came here, even though we didn't have a service. And we know that you saw the intentions of their heart, and that's what counts more than anything, that they wanted to be here to worship you. And we do pray, Lord, that you will be with all of those who are here today, and all of those who have submitted prayer requests. Lord, we pray for the Washington family and the Bennett family in the loss of a loved one. And Lord, our own family circle has experienced the loss of a loved one and had a memorial service yesterday. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which that service was conducted and the many people who were blessed by the life and ministry of the church that conducted that particular memorial service. Lord, we pray for any others who have experienced the loss of loved ones. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering from cancer. We have a number of them that have been placed before us today. And we pray, O Lord, that you will give healing to those who are struggling with this disease. We pray, O Lord, for Bob Tift, who has prostate cancer, a member of the Fair Havens Men's Group. And we pray, O Lord, that you will be with this situation and that there may be healing there. We pray, O Lord, for myself. Several have included a prayer request for myself as I continue to struggle with pancreatic cancer and continue to have treatments, and some of the treatments leave side effects. I pray, Lord, that you will watch over me and make those treatments to be effective, and that you will indeed grant a miraculous healing for this particular dread disease that is working within me. Lord, we pray too that you will be with a person who's just been diagnosed with lymphoma, a form of leukemia, and that that person too will experience healing from cancer and whatever is being done to do that. We pray, O Lord, for that you will accept our praise for the friend of someone who is worshiping here, whose cancer has been eradicated. We are thankful for that, Lord, and we are thankful what doctors are able to do today with chemo, with radiation, and sometimes with surgery. We pray too, O Lord, that you will be with with those who are looking for work, who are looking for work to be able to pay their rent and their other expenses. There's a brother of someone worshiping here. We pray that you will bless this person with a job and that he will be able to pay his rent and utilities. And we pray for this individual's grandchildren as well. We pray, Lord, that you will be with the family of the husband of someone who's worshiping here, whose name is Richard, and that you will give your blessing to that family circle. We thank you too, O God, for answered prayers. There are some people today who are feeling the power of answered prayer, and we are indeed grateful for that. We pray too, O Lord, that you will be with Janice, who has finished her chemo and is now starting radiation. We're thankful for her positive attitude, and we pray, O Lord, that you will bless her in this time of need. And we pray too, O Lord, for Stacy as she starts school and finishes school and then looks for a job, that she too may be able to find the job that she hopes to get that will be able to meet her needs. And we pray too, O Lord, for another individual who has problems at work, and that we pray that you will enable that person to be a part of the solution, and that those who are working there will be able to work towards a solution of whatever conflicts are taking place. We pray too, O Lord, that you will be with your church. We pray that you will be with your world. We do pray, O Lord, as one person asked me to pray before the service began, that we pray for the destruction of the Islamic State, for ISIS, which is devoted to creating this world as a world of terror. We pray, O Lord, that people may put down their weapons and learn to get along with one another, and that they may see that there is no real value in destroying other people, because in doing so, they only create further chaos and further animosity. We pray, O Lord, that this world may become a world of peace, that people may learn to get along with one another, that we may learn not to take advantage of one another, but that we may love one another as you have loved us. Bless us, O Lord, as we hear your message today. Hear us, we pray. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Many of us can relate to this song. I am changed. I'm renewed in Christ. I never want to go back to that old life. The Apostle Paul says that this old body is perishing day by day, but there's an inner man that's being renewed day by day to live in the presence of Jesus Christ. As dread as some of the physical problems are that we have in this world, it can't prevent the fact that if we are a child of God, there's something much better waiting for us than what's in this world. I'm so thankful for my life here and now, but the redeemed of the Lord have got something that nobody else has, and I've come too far to look back. I've come too far to look back again. There's nothing behind me. all the treasures I used to love have all faded from view. Oh, there's a new day ahead for me. All my heartaches I rove for I left it at Calvary, where my new life began. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers.
Thank you very much, Sandy, for that powerful song. I've already mentioned to you that I'm continuing my series on the pastoral letters. We're taking them in chronological order. We look first at 1 Timothy, then we looked at Titus, now we're looking at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is almost undoubtedly the last letter that Paul wrote. It is sort of like his last will and testament. Now, a couple weeks ago, and I don't know how many of you remember something I said then, but I'll repeat it then. But what I said was wrong. I said, it is a little bit unusual for a biblical writer or a biblical character to give a last will and testament and have it recorded for us. That really isn't true. That's what this letter is. Paul is writing to his son Timothy, and he is giving him some parting instructions because he knows he is not going to be living much longer. He says that very clearly toward the end of this letter. We're going to be looking at it in a couple of weeks. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. That particular statement is a recognition in this letter that Paul does not expect to survive on this earth much longer. But if you look in the Old Testament, look for example at Genesis 49. You will find there Jacob on his dying bed. And he says a blessing to each one of his sons. He gives them sort of his parting instruction, his parting message, his parting will and testament. One by one. In order of age. And as I was thinking about this, I realized there is a whole category of literature which we don't really read because it's not part of the Bible, but which historians have found in various archives of testaments. There is, for example, the Testament of Moses. Now, I don't think the Testament of Moses was written by Moses, but it was written by someone who was using the voice of Moses and the sort of thing that he would say. There's the Testament of Abraham. There's the Testament of Enoch. There is the Testament of the 12 patriarchs, which are the same 12 people to whom Jacob addressed in his parting message in Genesis 49. Just to take one of them, the Testament of Gad. I looked that one up. And in the Testament of Gad, there begins with an admission on the part of Gad that he hated his brother Joseph. But he goes on to say, what we need to do if we want to obey God is to love one another. And we must put hatred behind us. And he goes on to emphasize the importance of loving our brothers and giving up a life of hatred. In this Testament of Gad, which again is somewhat imaginary, but it is still a writing that comes from the ancient world, there is a confession of sin and a recognition that the person who is writing it wants to make amends. That's the type of thing that people sometimes do when they are on their deathbed. They look over their lives, they recognize they have made mistakes, they want to pass those messages on to their children. And so that's what they do. And that's in a sense what Paul does here in 2 Timothy. Paul is passing on to Timothy. Paul, who never had any children of his own, at least as far as we know from the scriptures, but he had children of the faith, particularly Timothy and Titus. He considers to be his sons in the faith. And he actually had Father Timothy. Timothy's own father was a Greek. someone whom Paul, someone who was not a believer in Jesus or even a believer in the Lord God of Israel. And so Timothy, as we saw last time we looked at 2 Timothy, he was brought up in the faith, the Jewish faith, by his grandmother Lois and by his mother Eunice, and then Paul nurtured him in the testimony about Jesus Christ. And Paul now is languishing in prison. He said, "I am like a criminal in chains." We read that passage. But he said, that's in verse 9, "I'm suffering like a criminal in chains. However," he says, "the word of God is not chained." And he knows that this time, because of what he sees going on around him, namely the persecution of Christians being undertaken by the Emperor Nero, where hundreds and thousands are being burned at the stake, he knows that his day is coming as well, and that he too will probably soon be losing his life. And so he wants to pass on some messages to Timothy. Life lessons. And the type of life lessons that Timothy can, as a minister of the gospel, pass on to the people to whom Paul is leaving him as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ and as a pastor. Most likely Timothy at this time, as we read in 1 Timothy, was stationed in Ephesus, where he was kind of a supervising pastor of some of the other churches there. So what are the lessons that Paul gives Timothy? I am not going to go into all of them. We read a long passage. And some of them we're going to talk about next week. And some of them we talked about last week. Just to review a couple of things. He says, "Join me in suffering." Verse 3. "Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It's not the typical thing that a father passes on to a son. You're going to have a life of suffering. But Paul had already said that in chapter 1. He says, any good soldier of Jesus Christ has to be focused on what he is going to do for Jesus Christ. And as he looks at the world in which he lives and the way in which the world is going, he knows that Timothy will have to suffer, and he tries to encourage him. If I were to write a testament to each one of my children, I probably would not include that. I would want them to have a life of success and a life in which they could enjoy their families and in which they could serve God in peace and so forth. Not what Paul says, because he knows the future. God has shown it to him. He knows what Nero is doing, and God has shown him further into the future. And he encourages his son. And as I said 2 weeks ago, I say again now, maybe it will not be a part of our generation, that is the generation and the age at which I am, but the way in which our country is going and the way in which our world is going. And if you look at the huge number of Christian martyrs throughout the world, it is increasing. And do not be surprised if it continues in that direction and life for Christians will be more difficult. And if it comes to that, I would want to encourage you, stand firm in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. Another thing that Paul tells Timothy is fight against those who are trying to destroy the truth. I will probably be saying more about that next week when we get into chapter 3, because there is a long description at the beginning of chapter 3 about those who are trying to destroy the truth and who are trying to present a false gospel. And Paul instructs Timothy in chapter 3 what he needs to do and what weapons he has in order to stand firm in the truth. But what I am going to do in the rest of my message on chapter 2 is to talk about this mini creed that Paul includes in this chapter, starting with verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but the word of God is not changed. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. As I said, the Apostle Paul is fully aware of the fact that this time he is not going to be released from his prison, but he is probably going to have to sacrifice his life. And his life will be snuffed out like the life of many other people that he sees around him. This is the time of the persecution of Christians by the Emperor Nero, which took place primarily in Rome. It was not a general persecution throughout the empire. It was a persecution that was pretty well limited to Rome, where Paul was kept in prison at this present time. And Paul knows that his life is going to be ending, but he is very clear that he will not die. It is impossible to take away his life because he is a believer in Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead. And he knows that if a person dies in Christ, that person continues to live. The person's body may be gone. The person's lungs may no longer be leaving. The person's heart may no longer be beating. But that person is with Jesus, because Jesus was raised from the dead, and all of those who die in Christ continue to live after their life on earth is over. I alluded to the fact that yesterday there was a funeral in my family circle. It is a brother-in-law married to my wife's sister. He's had prostate cancer for a number of years, and the prostate cancer finally took its toll, and he went to be with the Lord. But the service that we had, and it was at Calvary Non-Denominational Church, the service that we had was not a service in which we mourned the dead, but it was a service in which we celebrated the resurrection. That is one of the most beautiful and powerful things about the Christian faith, that when a believer dies, we do not mourn as those who are without hope. Because since Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, those who don't die with him also continue to live forever. And that's what Paul says in that mini creed starting at verse 11. If we die with him, we will also live with him. Don't ever forget that. There is only one way to die and not die at the same time, and that is to be in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, and if you haven't read that chapter recently, read that chapter again. Paul speaks over and over there about what it means to die in Christ. We die in Christ when we are baptized into him. Christ then suffers our death for us and gives us a new life in God, a new life in him. Consequently, if we die with Christ, and that takes place when we believe in him and are buried with him in baptism, then we know that we shall also live with him. Life is the end result. There is no way in which a person who has died with Christ through his suffering on the cross cannot also at the same time experience a resurrection with him that took place on Easter Sunday. Those are two sides of the same coin. If you have experienced the one thing, you have experienced the other. You have experienced eternal life. Eternal life is living with you right now. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. The first part of verse 12. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We will become kings with Jesus on the throne. We will reign with Christ as he reigns at God's right hand. If you look at some of the pictures in Revelation, you see there a multitude that no one can number that is standing around the throne of Jesus Christ on which he is reigning. And they are reigning with him, and they sing the great songs of salvation. That is a great privilege to think of the fact that if we endure and if we remain faithful unto death, we will reign with Christ forever and ever. Time on earth is what? 60 years, 70, 80, 90. Some people even reach 100. But that is nothing compared to eternity, which goes on forever and ever. And a comfortable life here on earth that is served in honor of our own pleasures and the wiles of the devil is very short compared to a life of eternity with Christ in heaven. If we disown him, going on in verse 12, he will also disown us. If we turn our backs on Jesus, he will allow us to do that. But he also will turn his back on us. Too many people do that. They make at best a temporary commitment to Jesus, something in the excitement of a moment, and then life goes on and they don't think about him at all anymore. If we disown him, he will also disown us. But if we become faithless, God remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. That is one thing that we can depend upon. That however many promises you find in the Bible, and the Bible is filled with promises of God, God will never have a point in his life where he says, you know, I promised you that, but I'm not going to give it to you. Because that is God denying himself, which he cannot do. God remains faithful because he cannot and he will not disown himself or be faithless to himself. I would like you this week to study those verses 8 to 13. I would like you to read them, maybe even memorize them. This, as I said, is one of these little mini creeds in the Bible. You can hang your hat on it. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, this is a warning, he will also disown us. But if we are faithless, he will remain faithless to his word because he cannot disown himself. You know, that's interesting. We make the statement sometimes, God can do anything. Well, there are a few things in the Bible that says what God cannot do. And one of them is to turn his back on his promises. The word of God stands firm and sure, and it is a sure guide for our lives. And that, by the way, dear friends, is what the theme for next week's Sunday service and passage is going to be about. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instructions you gave to Timothy, very clear instructions. Thank you that we are able to listen in on Paul's testament to Timothy and Paul's parting instructions so that we too may benefit from them and pass them on to the next generation who also will live according to what your word encapsulates for us. Be with us, dear God, and help us to accept everything that you say in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This song is about the New Jerusalem, spoken of by John in Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Jerusalem.
Good night.
ready.
Oh, yes, he did. John caught a glimpse of the golden throne.
Tell me all about it. Go right on
around the throne. He saw a crystal sea.
There's got to be more.
What will it be?
I want to go
to that city he saw, New Jerusalem.
We invite you again to come next week. God's blessing is here. We pray that you invite someone to come with you. And now go with the sound of confidence. that Jesus is here and lives. Amen.